97.5 The Fanatic.
Eagles have five defenders standing inside the 25-yard line. They come after Haskins. He flips them out of the way. It is picked up. And off to the races is Brandon. He'll score a touchdown on the final play of the game.
Just incredible. Just incredible. You know, Scott Van Pelt does that Bad Beats segment on ESPN. I think it starts at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. My favorite segment, because I've been there. Been there, done that. And they have some incredible, I don't know how they even come up with them. They have like Weber State versus like some directional school, Southeast, Northwest State. Somebody ridiculous, and they seem to find these amazing bad beats. Well, you won't find a worse beat than last week when you're laying 6.5 and you are up 4, last play of the game. One more play for Dwayne Haskins to throw a Hail Mary. And he decides to lateral it to no one in particular. Nigel Brown picks it up and runs for cover. Just incredible. If you had the Eagles, you are out of your mind. If you had the Redskins, you are jumping off bridges. That was a rough one. If you took the skinnies last week, which wouldn't have been a bad play since the Eagles shouldn't be favored by 6.5 over anybody. But 1.5-point dogs tomorrow. I might come out of retirement. Although I'd have to then be struggling with who I'm going to root for, so I won't do that. But if I was impartial, I'd be all over Dallas tomorrow. Of course, I always preach when the line tells you something, you know, take the other side, because when it seems too good to be true, it usually is. So that bodes well for the birds. I'm psyched about that line. Very pumped. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mike and King of Prussia here on 97.5. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, man?
Hey, so I'm a very conflicted Eagles fan at this point. I don't think this team, nor this front office, nor anybody deserves to go to the playoffs. And to be rewarded for putting this slop out on the field almost is an affront to me. Like, I kind of don't want them to go to the playoffs because I want them to be like, man, we really screwed up from everything. Like, our free agency, our drafting, it was so bad that we took this team that was supposed to be a Super Bowl contender and we failed. And I'd love for them to have to look themselves in the mirror and realize that they're not as good at talent evaluation as they say they are. But my other part is, I don't want to lose to the Cowboys. So, and we can't seem to beat the Cowboys. Now, for me, I don't see this as a win. There's all through the Delaware Valley, everybody's all got the Christmas cheer, but I'm all bah humbug over here. And I just don't see it. Like, if you look on paper, up and down, they're better at us in every shape and form. Offensive line, defensive line, running back, skill positions, everything. They got us beat everywhere. And, like, maybe it's just me, but I just don't see how everybody's seeing them as even being remotely in this game on Sunday.
You know, I can't disagree with you, Mike. I'm with you. They can't move the ball.
And I'm heavy on the Howie hate. You know that. And
I think
Howie has screwed us over hard. And that's why I kind of don't want them to make the playoffs. I know it sounds sacrilegious, but I want Howie to get slapped in the face so hard at how bad he's done at a GM job that something has to happen. That's where I'm at with this.
He's been bad, brother. You're totally right. He's been bad. And I'm concerned about the future of this team because they have not drafted well, and that usually comes back to bite you after 3 or 4 years. And, you know, they're going to have to rebuild soon, and that's a problem.
Joe, the 2017 draft, Derek Barnett was not worth a first-round pick.
Nope.
That means the entire draft was a waste. The entire draft. They basically could have just sat out the entire draft, and they would have been in the same place they are now. Like, that's how bad it was. Like, and I'm just over it. And, like, I'm tired of them giving contracts to players that don't deserve it. I'm tired of Jason Peters and players and Brandon Graham getting contracts and being on this team still when they shouldn't be here anymore.
Mike, again, I can't disagree with you. Great call today, my friend. Merry Christmas. I got it
right. Merry Christmas. Bah humbug.
You too, Michael. Mike, not big on the Eagles and not big on Howie Roseman. I can't disagree with them. They're in trouble the next few years, in my opinion, because of the way they've drafted. And that usually catches up with you and sets you back 3 years down the road after that particular draft. And they've had a couple of bad ones. Derek Barnett, he's the most average first-round pick you'll see. They just aren't good at drafting, whereas Dallas is phenomenal at it. Dak in the fourth round, Zeke, fourth pick overall, DeMarcus Lawrence in the second round, picked up Van Der Esch last year, I think in the first round, Jalen Smith, coming off that big injury out of Notre Dame, they pick up. He turns into a tremendous linebacker. Sean Lee, Jason Witten. You know, Michael Gallup in the third round. They do it right. They do it right. The Eagles really have to get their act together through the draft. Let's go to Q in Center City. You're on 97.5. Authentic. What's up, Q?
How you making up?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know what? And in this game, I am so excited about this game, and I'm wondering why we, you know, most folks acting like we're playing the 85 Bears. We're playing the Cowboys that's in our division who we normally split with. Now, I know we lost four straight to them, but the way to beat these guys is we got, I mean, if I was Doug, I would be so, I mean, we got Greg Ward who they don't know how we're going to use him. The element of surprise is supposed to mean something. And with Greg Ward, he's the element of surprise in a sense. So we can line him up all over the field. And they got to at least pay attention to him. And another thing, Carson Legs. It got to be at least maybe two or three design Carson runs. A lot of the times he's fumbling the ball is when he's playing in the pocket, not taking off.
Right.
Now,
you're absolutely right. They happen in the pocket when he's trying to escape. A guy comes from behind and swipes the ball. He's fumbled a few snaps, too, in the last couple games. Fumbled a few snaps.
Exactly. We got to eat the middle of the field up. I don't want to hear this about the wide receivers. Bill Belichick won Super Bowls with two tight ends and pass-catching running backs. So, and not taking chunk plays. So we can do this. We can do this. And if I'm Doug, as far as the scheme, he should be, like, scheming it up right now. The middle of the field is ours. We're playing the inconsistent Cowboys at our house. We have nothing to be worried about. Nothing.
All
they played good last week. What do they normally do? Play bad the next week. let's be real. Let's tell the whole story.
No.
Play both sides of the team.
No.
Side A and B. We shouldn't be scared.
I'm kind of with you, Q. They do they're up and down after a big win, although they put together two big wins coming off of three straight losses. But, Q, I got to run, man. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Happy holidays to you, too.
You, too. Appreciate it, Q. All right, as promised on the Comcast Business Hotline, he is the sports editor for the WestchesterCountyPost.com. He's been a host on The Fan up in New York. He has his own website. He writes articles. He does it all. His name is Steve Callis, and he's also my podcast partner on Callis Remarks with yours truly and Steve Callis. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. Steven, how are you?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you as always.
You too, man. Well, we got a big game. We talked about it a long time ago, circled on our calendars, and now here it is. And I think there's a little bit of a letdown because the Eagles are so shorthanded. Your thoughts on the game. How do they win this game?
They knocked Dak Prescott down four times the first time they have the ball and he lands on his shoulder three times. How about that?
That'll work for me.
That's about the best I can come up with. Obviously, you don't go out to hurt a guy, but you also know that there's lots of times when you can knock a guy on his throwing shoulder, and we don't know how bad it is. He was even throwing a little bit yesterday, but nothing, you know, really down the field. He is a gamer. He is a tough guy. I agree with all of that, but something short of Dallas playing horrific as they can do or their quarterback getting hurt, I'm just not seeing it. Now, don't forget, I really thought the Eagles could go to Dallas and beat Dallas down there, and you know what happened there. So hopefully I'm wrong, but this is almost a mismatch only because, A, no Lane Johnson. When Lane Johnson isn't on the field, that's not good for the Eagles. B, you know, Cowboys have won like 6 or 7 at the link, the last 6 out of the last 7 games.
Yeah, 5 straight.
You did the numbers with Zeke. So, you know, it's not looking good. I can only hope I was as wrong this time as I was last time.
Let's hope so, my friend. So let me ask you this, and we talk about it quite often on our podcast. What do you think about that line?
Well, that's the Joe Stazak rule, right? Actually, if you're following the Joe Stazak rule, you're pounding the Eagles.
Pounding the Eagles, right.
But I'm just not seeing it here.
I don't either, Steve. I just don't see it.
And you're right. It's a pick'em game, essentially, and that's hard to believe. Again, given who the Eagles have out on the field, but there's always that chance the Cowboys can be, you know, people are talking about, oh, 7-7, they've underachieved. They've underachieved for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But my goodness, they look like they could beat anybody in football last week.
Yeah, pound on the Rams last week.
Unbelievable.
An amazing performance after 3 straight losses.
Right.
Right? That team is so up and down with all the talent they have. It's incredible, and I do agree with Marcus Hayes. I think Jason Garrett is gone after the season unless they make some ridiculous run to the Super Bowl. But, you know, we shall see. Now, Steve, we talk often about the clutch gene, and does Carson Wentz have it? Has he given us an answer in the last 2 games, or too small of a sample size?
Well, I don't think it's too small of a sample. It's more, to me, who he did it against. I mean, they had to come back from 14 down against the Giants. I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
And then to come and by the way, that was two drives. That wasn't one drive.
Yeah,
right? It
was
late in the fourth quarter,
yeah.
And it was overtime. You give him credit for that. You also give him credit for Washington. So that's 3 clutch drives. But again, to me, you have to look at who it was against. You don't take anything away from him for doing it. He did it. But obviously, if he did something like that against Dallas, that would be a much bigger clutch gene showing, if you will. But, you know, we've talked all year, podcast and here, on the 4 or 5 steps he has to take. Does he have the clutch gene? Can he come back in the regular season? Can he win a playoff game? Can he win an NFC championship? Can he win a Super Bowl? And as we've talked about now for, you know, a couple of years, those are very hard to climb over, and tomorrow he has a chance, but, you know, I know Q was very positive and everything, but it's hard to expect Carson Wentz to do everything because who has he got to do it with?
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is the problem. I mean, everybody sees that. That, to me, is the problem. He doesn't really have those weapons. They seem to literally, other than Zach Ertz, they're literally all hurt. And I include Lane Johnson as a weapon in terms of the offensive
absolutely.
The running game.
Sure.
So, you know, Howard and Jeffrey, I mean, you've been through them all, and that's nothing like it's been in the past. This, to me, is even worse than I've seen in the last few years going back to the Super Bowl year.
Oh, it's awful. So I was going to ask you, the Eagles last week had one wide receiver to catch a football, and that was Greg Ward, 7 receptions. What is the problem? Is it that Carson Wentz doesn't trust them, or can they not get open? Or, I mean, they're practice squad guys. I get it, but, I mean, no catches for anybody else. That seems ridiculous.
I think the league is becoming, you know how they always say about Belichick, he's going to take away your best guy and you got to go to your second or even your third guy. I think this is what's happening throughout the league. So you're not going to double Ward, or maybe they will this week, I don't know. But you're not going to double a guy like him, so he's going to be the guy. I go, remember the tall guy Matthews in the Seattle Super Bowl against the Patriots? We were like, who is this guy? He was killing the Patriots?
Yeah.
Well, that's because they took away everybody else. So, you know, Doug Baldwin and those guys, they were all taken away. So I think it was a similar thing last week with Ward. I assume they're going to double Ertz at a minimum. Why not double him every play? But maybe they pay Ward more respect because of what he did last week. And that's the only thing I can come up with. When you see these secondary guys or even practice squad guys, as you call them, when they have big games, it's usually because they're not paid attention to. And at most, they're singled up. They're never doubled. Maybe that changes this week because he was so good last week. But it's not hard for the Cowboys to pick out Ertz and say, we got to stop him and, you know, frankly, go from there.
Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Steve, we talk about Dak and how much better he is when Zeke Elliott has a big game. Zeke, I mean, he kills the Eagles 5-0, all games over 100 yards rushing. In the sixth game, he had like 96 yards. I mean, why is he so effective against the Eagles, and how do they take care of him?
Well, they still have that offensive line. I don't think it's as real good as it was 2 years ago, but it's a lot better to me than it was last year because these guys kind of got healthy. And that's the key, and one thing follows the other. So the line is healthy, and then you get a lot of rushing yards. If you get a lot of rushing yards, what do we always say? Dak Prescott looks like a number one, a first-round pick, not a fourth-round pick.
Right.
If the offensive line is bad and Zeke can't run it, then Dak Prescott looks like a fourth-round pick. And don't forget, not to defend Dak, he's making $2 million this year. So he's going to get grossly overpaid soon, but he's been grossly underpaid. So I think the only thing, look, you know me, we say this all the time about Jim Schwartz. I'm saying bring 8, bring 7, bring 6, bring 9. I think you really got to blitz to take the ball out of his hands quickly, out of Dak's hands quickly. Because if he gets time or if Elliott can get around the corner, you know, it's going to be big problems for the Eagles.
Carson Wentz, very good at securing the football via the air. He has 95 touchdowns and only 35 picks in his career. But he can't hold on to the football. He had 3 fumbles last week, lost 1. In 5 straight games, he's lost 5 fumbles. How do we correct that?
Yeah, well, I think Marcus Hayes said it better than I could say it, and that is with the old, you can't anticipate the speed of these professional linebackers. Even after you've been in the league for a while, they're so quick to the ball, and you think you have that extra split second that you don't have, and it's literally a split second that is the difference between getting rid of the ball and getting strip sacked. Or, as Marcus said, doing the Eli Manning, if you will, it just, you know, you watch Eli play and he takes the dive quickly.
Down.
It looks
absolutely
like too quickly. But having said that, you'd rather have that, frankly, and it's hard probably for younger quarterbacks to do that. Even Brady this year, I heard you talking about Brady before. Even Brady this year, you see him going down quicker than he used to. And I think that's a function on the one hand of age, but it's also a function of experience because that's not necessarily a bad play. You know, usually you'd never want to take sacks, but sometimes in that split second where it's the difference between a strip sack, lose the ball, or taking a sack, hey, get down and get down quickly. So I think that's hard for a young quarterback to do, and Wentz is still a young quarterback, in my opinion. But I think that is often the difference between losing the ball and losing 7 yards. And again, if that's your choices, obviously you're going to lose 7 yards. And if I could, Joe, I just want to say one thing about Eli Manning. I wrote a column, WestchesterCountyPost.com. This is a big thing in New York, as you know. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer, yes or no? And I just had a video posted, rather, at WestchesterCountyPost.com. If you click on that and go to live stream sports streaming in December, it's a pretty interesting thing. And obviously there's arguments on both sides as he got back to 117. In 117 for his career last week.
Amazing. I am on the Eli Manning Hall of Fame train. I think you know that.
Good.
He's had some down years, but 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and the way he did it certainly has the clutch gene. Again, we talk about it all the time. In a big game, I'd take him over his brother 8 days a week. So let me go down a quick list here. And a caller called in a few minutes ago and talked about how Howie Roseman is awful at the draft. I agree. I think that's going to catch up with them. I think some of these drafts recently will set this team back, and they're going to have to rebuild soon. As far as the Cowboys go, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, Randall Cobb, Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Lyle Collins, DeMarcus Lawrence, Byron Jones, Sean Lee, Leighton, Kyle Vander Esch, Jalen Smith. They are loaded, in my opinion. First of all, great job drafting. They draft very well. Them and the Steelers are, I think, the two best drafting teams in the league, maybe the Ravens as well. How are they 7-7?
Well, that's the problem. You know, Jerry Jones, and he's the GM, as you know, he will happily tell you, look, we've drafted more guys who have made All-Pro in the last X years than blah, 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 blah. But I would say this, the only response I have, even for Howie, on Howie Roseman's side, is how many Super Bowls has Dallas won in the last 20 years, and how many Super Bowls has the Eagles won? And it's 1-0 Eagles.
Yeah.
Because they do draft well, but there seems to be a lack of chemistry. I agree with you and Marcus. You know, a lack of coaching, how this guy has lasted this long. I understand he's almost a member of the Cowboys family, but the notion that you've had this kind of mediocrity with this kind of talent for, I think he's been there, what, 9 years now, maybe, Jason Garrett, is just incredible. So, you know the old saying, you can't trade the players, but you don't want to trade these players. You just went down, they got 10 stars.
Stars!
You just went down the list. It's incredible. But then the next part after that is, well, how do you have the chemistry to win? And if you believe it's a function of chemistry, it has to be partly a function of coaching. And you know, I don't care if they win tomorrow and go, say, 8-8 and win the NFC East, which is a total embarrassment. Your caller two back, he said, oh, this is depressing. I can't believe this. I don't even know if I want him to make the playoffs. He's right, because 30 years ago, if you were 7-7 now, what would you be saying? Yeah, I hope we can win two to be above 500, and we'll get them next year. But now, because of the proliferation of wild cards, et cetera, you're 6-7. Oh, if we can just win the last three, we can win the division to make the playoffs. And what? It's a successful season?
Yeah.
But Dallas is a team that has enough talent if they win this game tomorrow, they have enough talent to make a run. That's how talented they are, but it's the old, we'll believe it when we see it. So they've been bad for 20 years or more, and you just have to hope they lay an egg tomorrow and or Dak Prescott, you know, hurts his shoulder.
Yeah, he's banged up. He's hurt. Tyler Zuli believes he's one of our producers, says he's hurt, yep, not injured, but he does have the finger issue. The AC joint's a little sore. I mean, I'm thinking turnovers and Dak Prescott being hurt may be the only way the Eagles win this game tomorrow. Let me get a quick prediction from you, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know what I predicted last time? I thought the Eagles could go down there and win.
I did,
so
too.
I'm picking Dallas tomorrow, 21-13. And again, barring something, if Dak is healthy and plays the whole game healthy, I don't know how the Eagles can win. I agree, if Carson Wentz could pull this off, if he does one of these final two-minute drives against the Dallas defense as opposed to the Giants or Washington, that's a big feather in his cap. I think these last two wins have been little feathers in his cap, for lack of a better analogy. But I do think it's a big game. But again, he's showing up with not a lot of weapons, Zach Ertz and who. I do think they have a chance, but it's hard for me to pick them. And, you know, I always like to pick the Eagles if I can. I'm just not seeing it this time.
We talk all the time about what we talked earlier, and almost everyone to a man is taking the Cowboys, but I guarantee next week we're going to be like, we should have known because that line was only 1.5.
It's the Joe Staysack rule. We'll see if it plays out this time.
Let's hope so. Steve, great job as usual. I know I'll talk to you before Christmas, but have a Merry Christmas, my friend, and you're fabulous as always.
Yep, same to you and all your listeners. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Happy Holidays.
All right, thanks, Steven. Appreciate it. We've got to take a break. I'm here to 4 o'clock. Steve is an Eagle savant, a sports savant, much like Marcus Hayes, and we'll get into some of the things Steve said on the other side. He blessed us and graced us with a lot of good information and a lot of speculation, and I think he's right on the money. Once again, Joe Staysack here to 4 o'clock, 610-632-0975. Coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Fullback Oluwole again. Elliott behind him. And Elliott this time is into the end zone. 14 yards, two plays after the fumble. And just like that, a two-touchdown lead for the home team.
Following another Carson Wentz fumble, Zeke Elliott punches it in. This was back on October 20th, I believe. Zeke finished the season, or finished the game, 22 carries, 111 yards. He kills the Eagles. He averaged 5 yards a carry, one touchdown. Amari Cooper kills the Eagles, 5 receptions, 106 yards. He averaged 21.2 yards per catch, had a 44-yarder, targeted 5 times, 5 catches.
Zeke also had a good game out of the backfield, 6 catches, 36 yards. Michael Gallup contributed, 3 catches, 34 yards. Of course, Jason Witten. Jason Witten's done a nice job coming out of the booth after he retired. He's done a nice job. He doesn't look like he's taking a step back. The catch he had last week was one for the ages, the one-handed catch as he's cutting to his right, just outside the goal line. Just he turned and the ball was there, and he puts his mitt up, his right mitt, and hauls it in. That's one of the catches of the season. Just a phenomenal job. Meanwhile, on the other side, well, the Eagles didn't do much well. They turned the ball over four times. Carson Wentz, 16 of 26, 191 yards, sacked 3 times, a touchdown, an interception. They ran as a team for 115 yards. But Carson Wentz had 12 of them. So 103 yards for the game between Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, and Miles Sanders. Seems like that was the last time Jordan Howard played. And was it the Bears game he got hurt in this year? I can't recall, but he had that stinger. And that's turned into a real problem. He's missed like 5 games. And they need him. He's another key piece to the team who's hurt. Now, he's questionable for tomorrow's game. Lane Johnson, the only one who's out right now. The only one who's out. Of course, Alshon Jeffrey's out. DeSean Jackson's out there on IR. But Jordan Howard is one of the keys to this team. First 8 games of the year when I did my report card, he was the offensive MVP. Offensive MVP. Him and Miles Sanders, a 1-2 punch. I didn't think Miles Sanders had it when I first watched him a couple games into the year. Certainly chunk plays on catches down the field. He was probably their best deep threat, and he's a running back, maybe the best deep threat all year. But he's starting to show me something running the football. Starting to show me something. I like him a lot. I wasn't sold on him when the Eagles tried to force feed us him early in the year. I think the first game they handed Sproles the ball and expected him to kind of carry the load. By the way, it just came out, Darren Sproles, this is breaking news maybe, Darren Sproles will retire after the season, so he's played his last game in the National Football League, and what a career he's had. Did a phenomenal job when he was, this was another Chip Kelly move that I loved. I actually predicted it, believe it or not. I didn't predict it. I said they would do well for themselves if they could find a way to get Darren Sproles. 2 days later, they trade for Darren Sproles. Tremendous trade. He did so many good things. It's unfortunate he didn't get a chance to play in the Super Bowl because he was hurt, but he certainly helped him get there with his production out of the backfield, you know, catching balls on those wheel routes, running the football effectively, returning punts, punts to a fairly well. Just been phenomenal. And what a career. To me, he's a Hall of Famer. He might be kind of on the fence. Could go either way, but especially for his size, 5'6", really. Boston Scott looks a lot like him. And no, I'm not saying he's the next Darren Sproles. He was on the practice squad most of the year, you know. But I like what he does. He's shifty, quick as a hiccup, good lateral movement, good vision. Who would have thunk it? He was brought in at garbage time often this year. He had one meaningful touchdown. I can't even remember who it was against, but it was like a one-yard plunge. But he's been phenomenal. Phenomenal against the Giants. He needs to be phenomenal tomorrow, as does Carson Wentz, because I can't find a way that the Eagles win this game unless Dallas implodes. Like the Eagles imploded back on October 20th. 2 fumbles in like 9 seconds, and the Cowboys were up 14-0. Turnovers. The Eagles had 4 of them last time. 4-1. They were a -3. They lost the game by 27 points. Doesn't surprise me. You can't secure the football. You put yourself in a very precarious situation. And most of the time, almost all of the time, if you're a -2 or more, you don't win that football game. You don't win that football game. Unless you're the Saints. Back in 2013, they were a minus two in that playoff game against Nick Foles and company and actually won the game. But anyway, I think Graham, was it Gano? It was 4 for 4. He was like, you know, building houses that week. He was out of football and they picked him up. He goes 4 for 4. Anyway, I don't know why I started talking about that. But Eagles and Cowboys, must win for Carson Wentz. Absolute must win would be a signature victory for Carson Wentz, especially if he finds a way to bring the team back in the fourth quarter on a final drive. Steve Callis mentioned it. He had three drives in the last two games that were clutch. He had two against the Giants, punching the ball in late, under 2 minutes left, going the length of the field, and then the Eagles win the toss in overtime, takes him right down the field. Zach Ertz, his second touchdown in a couple minutes, and the Eagles stayed alive, kept themselves afloat, did it last week against the Skins. How are you struggling with the Skins? This is my point. The Eagles are not a good football team. They're just not. You watch tomorrow. If Dallas plays like they can play, or at least to some degree, you're going to see a big disparity in the teams. And it's hard to compare them right now because the Eagles are so hurt and so banged up. It's a shame. No one likes to use injuries as excuses, but it's reality. They have nobody catching the football for them. And Lane Johnson, one of their best offensive players, one of the best players on the team, is out. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence going up against Big V. That's not a great matchup. It's not a favorable matchup if you're the Eagles. Although, for some reason, he only has 5 sacks this year. But again, he's very disruptive, very dangerous. Had a strip sack against the Eagles last time they played. His first sack, kind of owned Lane Johnson. First sack against the Eagles in his career. And like I said, he owned Lane Johnson. Maybe Big V has a better time with him. You know, we shall see. But we got to take another break. We're talking Eagles and Cowboys. A game for that might decide the NFC East. It's an elimination game for the Eagles and the Cowboys. All they have to do is win, and they are NFC East champions at 8-7. What a debacle this division is. I'm Joe Stajak. I'm here till 4 o'clock, 610-632-0975. Coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 tight ends in the game for Philadelphia. A little flip, rolls, cuts, slips, and spins his way in for 2.
Darren Sproles, if you missed it, just announced his retirement after 14 seasons. I think he's a Hall of Famer. You could say he's on the fence. I'll buy that. But and it's a shame how he went out. Being injured so much the last few seasons, he played in 3 games in 2017 in the Super Bowl season, 2018 just 6, and he played in 6 games this year. But he amassed, let me see how many yards he amassed, 3,552 on the ground, 4,840 through the air. Just, and he returns punts, kicks, does it all. Very hard to bring down. He's like a little fire plug, 5'6", but all muscle. And it's unfortunate he's going out this way, but again, very close to a Hall of Fame career. And it's a shame because in his previous 11 seasons, he played in 16 games 4 times and in 15 games 4 times. And then he played a season in 2012, only 13 games. But he's been relatively healthy until the last 3 years here with the Eagles. And it's unfortunate he only played 3 games in his Super Bowl season, the season where on one play tore up his knee and broke his arm. He only played, like I said, 3 games, 6 games last year, 6 games this year. Darren Sproles has announced his retirement, one of the great trades. I'll get to Chip Kelly in a second. The Eagles, one of the great trades they've ever made. For a 5th-round pick, they got Darren Sproles from New Orleans. Now, he did ask New Orleans for a release, but a fifth round pick. For as bad as Chip Kelly was here, for what a horrendous coach and not so good of a human being, in my opinion, from what I know, he did some good things talent-wise, except for, listen, I know it's egregious, so it kind of balances out, getting rid of DeSean Jackson, releasing him outright, Shady McCoy, for whatever reason, didn't like those two guys, and two studs, two all-time studs in this franchise. Two all-time studs. Shady McCoy, all-time rushing leader for this team. And DeSean Jackson, we know how deadly he was. I think he had eight catches over 50 yards in his second season. That's a record for touchdowns. Complete stud in his early years. But he did do some good things. Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz in back-to-back rounds. What else did he do? Well, Nelson Aguilar, up and down. You could call him a semi-bust. And the Darren Sproles move was tremendous. It was just tremendous, and he's been a tremendous player for this team. Unfortunately, he's only played 15 games the last three seasons, but in case you missed it, Darren Sproles is retiring after this season, 14 seasons in the league. 610-632-0975. Want to get your thoughts on Eagles-Cowboys tomorrow. We can also talk a little Sixers. The debacle last night, losing to the Mavs at home by 19 points. They were awful. Brett Brown not happy with his squad after the game. They've lost three straight. Lost to the Heat, 108-104. Lost to the Nets by 20. Haven't played real good. 20-10 this year so far? Haven't played real good. My thoughts on the Sixers are they're not a team that's going to make a big playoff run, in my opinion. They don't have shooters from outside, and the ones they do are inconsistent. And Joel Embiid is healthy maybe 70% of the time. And Ben Simmons is a flawed point guard. They don't, in my opinion, have the roster to make a serious run. I know everyone thinks they're going to be in the finals. I don't think they could beat Milwaukee. They might not even be able to beat the Celtics. I certainly don't think they'll be able to beat Milwaukee. We can talk a little 76ers if you want, but really we're focusing on the Eagles and the Cowboys. Big game. It's an elimination game for the Eagles. They lose, they're out. And if they win, then they just have to beat the Giants, and they are NFC East champions. If they win, they can still lose to the Giants, but Dallas would have to lose to Washington last game of the year, and the Eagles will get in. If both teams are tied at the end of the year, Dallas would have the tiebreaker. They'd be 5-1 in the division. The Eagles would be 4-2 in the division. That's if they both finish 8-8. So they have the first tiebreaker, does Dallas. And that's if both teams split, if the Eagles win tomorrow. If Dallas wins tomorrow, they have the head-to-head tiebreaker. They're also up a game in the division. They both teams could end up at 8-8. But again, Dallas has the would have that. If they win, they would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. And again, they also have the divisional matchup tiebreaker. All right, 610-632-0975. I want to get your thoughts on the game tomorrow. Can the Eagles pull this one out? Can they pull this one out? I say yes, they can, but Dallas would have to help them out. Dallas would have to play like they did in 2009 in the last game of the year where they lost 44-10 or 44-6, turned the ball over like four times, and then the Eagles had a bunch of things they needed to happen, and they almost made it to the Super Bowl. They need a game like that, a debacle game from the Cowboys, who beat the Rams last week badly, 44-21. If they play like that, it's lights out for the Eagles. Let's hear what Dustin from the Northeast has to say about the game tomorrow. What's up, D?
Yo, Joe, what's going on, bro?
How are you, man? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too, man. It's been a while since I got to talk to you.
I know. Good, man. How you doing?
Another day in paradise.
Of course.
Listen, yeah, you forgot to mention, wasn't Josh Huff a Chip Kelly guy too?
Yeah, he made some bad picks too. Josh Huff was a third round pick and he stunk. Got to be honest, he stunk. You know, and Nelson Aguilar, I call him a semi-bust because he did have a good Super Bowl season, and he was awesome in the Super Bowl. He was a contributor, played real well that year. Other than that, he's kind of been a bust, in my opinion. But I'll give him credit for that season.
Yeah, and then, you know, going back to that LeSean McCoy, you know, you stated it a little bit. But, like, you got rid of LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso. And personally, I think that LeSean McCoy was the best running back that the Eagles ever had. I think that he was the best running back that
they've ever had. He is, statistically, he is. And I do agree with that. He's the best running back they've ever had.
Now, getting to the Eagles' point, I think that they could win tomorrow. I think what we saw last week with Dallas playing against Los Angeles, I think that that was kind of a fluke game for them.
Okay.
I don't think they're that good of a team. I don't think Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. And
you know what? Don't you like about Dak?
Just his decision making, and it goes back with. I call up the morning show and Mikey, and I argue with them all the time. I think Carson Wentz, I don't think he's the quarterback for us. I don't think he knows how to properly read a defense. I think he holds on to pressure. And last week's a prime example. I mean, what, he had four fumbles? He holds on to the ball.
Three fumbles last week, yeah.
He does not know how to read a defense, Joe. He doesn't know how to read a defense.
Well, why do you say that? His interception to touchdown ratio, 95 to 35 over his career.
Because all he's doing is throwing little dink and dump passes. He doesn't properly know how to go through his progress. Like, last time we played Dallas, and I bring this up all the time whenever I talk about him, it was a 3rd and 8, and he had, I think it was Dallas Goedert over the middle, wide open twice on 3rd downs, and he forced incomplete passes. And if you go back and watch that tape against Dallas last game, he really, it's just something about him. It irks me. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know me. I was a Nick Foles guy. I love Nick Foles.
Sure, me
That's
too.
In the past, so we're never going to be able to get him back. But Carson's problem is he does not know how to read defenses. And the reason tomorrow I do think that we're going to be able to win, I think Fletcher Cox is going to show up finally after how he made the Pro Bowl is beyond me because I really think he's having.
I've always thought he's been overrated.
I kind of felt the same way, too. And when I saw last week that he made the Pro Bowl, I'm like, what is going on? It makes no sense because he's been absent all year. What has he done all year?
Well, it gets voted.
He gets doubled and tripled.
It gets voted on by their peers and guys throughout the league. To value a player and his worth, I just look at the All-Pro list, not the Pro Bowls.
But I really think that tomorrow the defense is going to show up. I think they're going to get 3 turnovers. I think you're going to see a pick 6 out of Sidney Jones.
Really?
I think you're going to get a pick 6 out of Sidney Jones. I don't know why, but I'm leaning towards it. But I think that defense shows up tomorrow, and I think that they pull out the victory. It's going to be a close game. My prediction is 24-21 Birds. But I think that they're going to pull out the victory.
Wait, what's the score? 24-21 or 44-21?
No, 24-21. And you know what else nobody talks about? We don't get to see that dumb look on Eli Manning's face anymore, but seeing it on Jason Garrett's face is just as good.
He's gone.
I can't wait to see him gone.
He's a dead coach walking. Dust, I got to go, man. Merry Christmas, my friend. Great call.
Happy holidays.
You too, pal. Dustin from the Northeast. My man was my yogurt connection back in the day. Good call. I don't know if Carson Wentz can't read a defense. I think he's fine. I'd love Nick Foles, by the way, but they made the right decision keeping Carson Wentz, I think. He's the franchise quarterback going forward. All ultra-talented and, again, came up with the clutch gene the last 2 weeks. Was happy to see that. I need to see more of that. Maybe he can come up with more of that tomorrow. Eagles and Cowboys, 425 at the link. I'm Joe Stazak, 2 hours down. We got 2 whole hours left. Talk Eagles and Cowboys on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.